You're walking along the street, or you're at a party, or else you're alone, and then you suddenly dig. You're looking in someone's eyes, you suddenly realize this could be the start of something big. You're lunching at 21 and watching your diet, declining a Charlotte Russe, accepting a fig. When out of a clear blue sky, it's suddenly gal and guy, and this could be the start of something big. There's no controlling the unrolling of your fate, my friend.
Welcome to all the visitors from across the universe. You're listening to Across the Universe, the Chicks with Accents podcast. And today we're just gonna talk about ourselves and our favorite movies. So, my name is Matt
Kowalski.
I'm 18 years old and I still go to high school. And I'm from Denmark/Germany. And I'm saying Denmark/Germany because I live in Northern Germany and there's a Danish minority here. And so I just happened to go to a Danish school, and that way I feel very connected to Denmark, and I spend a lot of time in Denmark. So that's just that. My blog is Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions, which I started 2.5 years ago. And so I wrote about Bollywood films that I had seen because I was in kind of a Bollywood phase. And then somehow other people who loved movies commented on my posts, and I started reading their blogs and then kind of started watching different movies from different American movies and famous American movies, all kind of stuff. And yeah, that way I happened to become a movie lover in general. I can't really describe what kind of movies I like because it really depends on the movie. I think I like movies that are dramatic and spectacular, but not really over the top. And I often like movies that some people find pretentious. I don't know why, like Wes Anderson and Terrence Malick, Sofia Coppola, many people don't like these directors too much, but I kind of love them. But I also like movies that are realistic. I just like movies that are different than the general stuff. So, yeah. But that doesn't mean I don't like blockbusters. It's hard to describe. So, yeah. And that's kind of what I have to say about myself.
I think I have to add that often I don't sound as excited as I am. Don't be fooled by that.
Okay, namaste, I'm Nakazera, but I don't think that's pronounceable by most people, so you can call me Nick. And I'm from Calcutta, India, but I also partially live in the UAE. That's where I went to school. My blog is called Being Norma Jean. I started blogging because I saw like a friend's blog, and my earlier stuff is really random because her blog was an artsy blog and I didn't know what film blogs were, so I was sort of copying her blog. And then about a year later I stumbled on film blogs and I'm like, this is what I should be doing. So I have been blogging for a while, and I don't think I'm as good as like most bloggers I follow, but I try to do my thing. And basically films are the greatest love of my life, and I don't think I'm very knowledgeable about them yet, but I try to like educate myself as much as I can, and blogging has helped me a lot to do so. And I want to do something in my life with films, hopefully, because I can't see myself doing anything else. And I tend to babble a lot, so you will experience that in these podcast episodes. And I am also slightly obsessed with Ryan Gosling and Doctor Who and Harry Potter. So you may catch me talking about them at any point in any conversation, because that's what I do in life. Yeah, so that's it. I hope you like our podcast.
Hola a todos, my name is Sofia and I'm 21 years old. I vlog at Filmflare from Portugal and I'm a law student, so I guess you can always count on me having an opinion about everything. I guess my real admiration for film started when I saw The Assassination of Jesse James. I don't know why, I think I realized that a movie could be more than just a story. I noticed the cinematography and the actors. I don't know, something went on in my head just then, boom. And I actually did a presentation at school about it. So I'm now realizing how nerd maybe I was, how much of a nerd I was in high school. Yeah. I really can't remember the day I started blogging or the moment, because I don't know. I don't have a good memory, I guess. And I really don't know either what motivated me to do it. I've had many blogs in many languages, so I really can't help you with that. But it's become a habit of sorts. And it's become a part of me, and it's sort of inevitable now that I will do this as long as I can. You can always expect me to talk about classic movies like they're the next summer blockbuster, because I live in those times. For me, I say, oh, I'm going to see A Sweet Smell of Success, and I think it's going to be great. And like I'm talking, I'm going to the movies to see Taxi Driver tomorrow. And I talk a lot too, and I diverse from the topic, main topic. That's what I'm doing right now. I'll always say weird sentences as well, because I tend to directly translate Portuguese sayings into English and it won't make much sense. So know that when a sentence that I say it's weird, it's probably because I'm doing that. And also, I will say Jesus a lot, though I'm not religious, but I'll say it. And I will also laugh a lot. And I won't be able to pronounce correctly any words that end with TH, because we don't have that sound in Portuguese. And I don't know how you say fifth. I don't know. So I'll always be mispronouncing those words. And that's about it.
So we prepared a mission statement also, so that you, our listeners, can know what to expect from us, from the Ticks with Accents. We aim to bring you varied, internationally flavored, and slightly girly perspectives on all things film every fortnight. We won't be speaking about new releases a lot, since many of them release much later and sometimes not at all in our countries. But if there's a particular new release that we are all able to watch and are very excited about, we will discuss it. For example, The Great Gatsby. Otherwise, our usual episodes will have each of us speaking about an interesting film that we've watched in the fortnight. And then for our main segment, we will all have a lively discourse on a cinema-related topic. You can expect things like our ultimate cinematic crushes, awkward movie viewing moments, and the Hollywood Western perception about each of our countries and cultures. And that's about it, so we hope that you enjoy the show. Yeah, so by interesting films, we mean films that that we thought about after watching it, and that could be meant in a positive or a negative way. It could be a wonderful movie that we loved a lot, or a movie that we hated. It could be any movie that we just want to share with our listeners and the other podcasters. Yeah, so I'm just going to talk about the last movie I saw, which was called Fitzcarraldo. It's not very well known. It's a 1980s German movie, but Bonjour Tristesse recommended it to me because he said it was an interesting movie about ships and or boats, and I like boats. So it's a movie about a guy, a really crazy guy who lives in Peru. He's called Fitzgerald, but the Indians just call him Fitzcarraldo. He lives in the civilized part of Peru. Kind of, he lives in one of the towns where other white people live, but also Indians. And he has an ice factory. I don't know why, but yeah, he's kind of crazy because he loves opera. And he wants to build an opera in Peru, in the jungle. And he wants Enrico Caruso, the famous opera singer, to open it. But he needs money to do that. So he kind of, there's something with a ship, and I did not understand that part. But he has to sail through the Amazon and stuff to get money. So he does that, and he has to get a ship over a mountain, and they did that actually in the production. They did that, so it's kind of impressive. But yeah, and it has a cool ending with, yeah, kind of they survive, and then this opera singer sings on the boat and stuff, and it's kind of a crazy movie, but it's pretty cool.
And who's it by?
It's by, I don't know how to say it in English, Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog. I have to watch one of his films.
Like, yeah, he makes kind of crazy movies. But
he does, doesn't he? That's why I was thinking of adding his movies to, like, I'm trying to do a sort of movie month called Crazy Nikat Month, where I will watch movies which I don't understand, which are a lot of movies. So, yeah, I wasn't sure if I should add him or not, but I might.
He has another movie that's called Agira, The Wrath of God.
Yeah.
That's really, really crazy. So.
Okay, so I'll add him.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, even I saw a classic, I guess. I'm going to talk about Lawrence of Arabia, which I saw last week, I think. And, I mean, I've been wanting to watch it for a really long time, but it's very, very long, which generally, yeah. I don't mind long movies, but I hate being bored in movies. Yeah. So that's what generally, like, wards me off most long movies. But this was actually, it wasn't boring at all, and it didn't feel that long, even though I did see it on, like, two separate days. But that was more because of my college than, like, the movie itself, and I thought it was very, very well made, and the cinematography, I'm a bit of a cinematography nut, like, even though I won't know the terms and things associated with the whole art, but I really like a good-looking film, and this, I thought this film was absolutely gorgeous,
definitely.
Yeah, and I have to see it on, like, a big screen one day. And I loved everything about it except Lawrence of Arabia. Except the character. Yeah, I didn't like him. I didn't like him from the beginning. Then there's, like, a quest which he undertakes, called, like, where he sort of, like, goes across the desert, and no one had, like, done it, I guess. So that was cool. That was inspiring. But he's very, very egotistical. And yeah, I mean, he was very egotistical. Like, when I was watching it, like, I put a Twitter status saying he makes Tony Stark look humble. So yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, in a way, I guess what David Lean, the director, what he was trying to do, like, by showing such a movie was to demythify this character, you know, he's a hero and things. But I, you know, like, show, like, a hero with flaws and all that stuff. But I, for me, like, it ended up having, he ended up having too many flaws. Yeah. To, like, I just couldn't consider him as like, he really annoyed me. Everything else in the movie I really loved except him. I thought Omar Sharif's character was really, really good.
Yeah.
But everyone, I don't know, just him, he was like my main problem with him. But I thought it was just a very, very, very magnificent, majestic sort of movie. So yeah, I liked it.
I like it too. Yeah.
Did you feel the same thing? Did you like Lawrence?
I don't know. I liked that he was very flamboyant and not as male as many of these kind of characters. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I have to rewatch it. But I think that Peter O'Toole has very beautiful eyes.
Yes, yeah. While I was watching it, I was like, I miss when, you know, in movies, like, I think it was there in older movies more, when blue eyes were, like, so much bluer.
Mm.
Maybe it's a Technicolor.
Yeah.
I don't know, but everything, colors seem really vivid in old movies. Yeah.
Mm.
I think it's because they color them later. Well, as you know, I haven't seen any movies in over a month. But the last one I saw was Anna Karenina, as you know, but I'm going to talk about another one which intrigued me a lot, and I've been thinking about it ever since, which is I'm No Angel from 1943, and it was directed by Wesley Ruggles, I think, and it stars Mae West and Cary Grant. And what's very intriguing about this is, and Lauren from Men I Love Films, she wrote an article about that, and I remember reading it a long time ago, how Mae West owned her sexuality so well, and how the Hays Code, when it came, kind of repressed that sexuality shown in movies, we all know that, and when it came out, when there was no code anymore, it seems like the dialogue that we have now, it's very childish. And we either see it bluntly, you know, sex on movies, or it's treated in a stupid way when it's talked about. And in her time, in Mae West's time, it was very different. And that's very compelling to watch a movie like that, I think. It doesn't show anything, but when she talks about it, she has fun and she's confident and she has all those not so subtle lines, come meet me sometime or something like that. I don't know. And the plot is very simple. It's completely ridiculous from the realistic point of view. But still, she's a circus performer and she has many affairs with men. And then she meets one, which is Cary Grant, and she falls in love. And then there's all these problems. But that's the main thing. And another thing about Cary Grant that it's interesting is that he looks like her boy toy in this film, which cool. is interesting when you think of his later movies, where he's the one in command a lot of times. Now he's just a boy next to her. And have you seen it? Have either of you seen
no.
it?
No.
But it sounds cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any Mae West movies.
I haven't.
I'm not well, sure.
They're interesting. They're very iconic. She had she was very controversial at the time, as you may know, and she had this way of walking and talking like, she kept doing this. Really weird.
It sounds like my grandma.
But he was supposed to be sexy, like. Okay. It's really weird.
Cool.
But it's interesting, and it's very pre-code movies are. I don't know much about them, but from the ones I've seen, they're very interesting, and it's very compelling to watch something that has no, how do you say it? It has no restrictions, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, when you watch old movies, you kind of think that what would. Were they all prudes back then? I think there's this myth that people in the 40s and 50s didn't do anything. But they still had babies, so they had to come from somewhere.
in the 30s and 20s, early 30s, you can see that. And it's interesting. It's a very particular part of cinema history that I think it's very compelling.
I think generally, like, I feel as though movies are becoming more and more conservative in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Because just think of something like Carrie, right? The new Carrie movie, even... because have you seen the old Carrie? Have you seen the original?
No. Sadly not, no.
I have seen the original, but I haven't seen the new one.
It's... No one wants to see the new one either. But the thing is, like, if you remember, like, the old one, the way it starts, okay, it's like in the girls' locker room. And it's so explicit, it's so outrageous, you know, and it's so, like, raw in a way, which I can't imagine them doing it in the new one, ever.
No, so, it will be stupid and childish, and it will be just endless giggling, right?
Exactly. So that's what I just feel like, I don't know, in some ways, we are becoming more and more conservative.
I think we're becoming stupid.
True.
Sex and death and horror is still a taboo, but it's just treated in a completely wrong way. And the only movie I've seen lately that does it right, it's the one with Meryl Streep and the other guy, the one from Men in Black.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Exactly. And they're a couple.
Oh, right. Hope.
An old couple.
Something. Hope something. Forget.
Hope Springs. Hope Springs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And they're a couple and they're dealing with their issues. It's very truthful, the way they talk about their relationship. I think it's the only movie I've seen lately that really treats a relationship, a sexual relationship, in a really adult way.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, it's just ridiculous. Have you seen LOL with Miley Cyrus? I don't know.
No.
Wants to see that.
Well, no. I saw the French version, you know. It was kind of
French version.
Yeah, it was. it was remade of a French coming of age kind of teenage movie, which we saw in French class.
Well,
but it's not a good one.
It's ridiculous. I don't know the French version, but it's ridiculous the way they treat adolescence and sex and whatever. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next is our general discussion for today, which is going to be about our favorite movies. And we chose to do that because we think that your favorite movie really shows who you are in some kind of way, and what kind of movies you like, what kind of stories you like, and what kind of characters you like. It just shows what kind of personality you have concerning movies, but also not concerning movies, just... Yeah, and that's gonna start right now. So my favorite movie is... Dilse, from 1998, directed by Mani Ratnam, who is an Indian director. It's an Indian movie too, and starring Shah Rukh Khan and Manisha Koirala. Yeah, so I'm just gonna say what it's about because I don't think that anybody knows this movie or.
No, I've seen it, but yeah.
Yeah. But, well, I don't think that non-Indians know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie about a radio jockey who's called Amarkant Varma. And he wants to be kind of a controversial radio jockey and journalist. He wants to talk about the bad sides of India and the conflicts and stuff, and he He goes up to Kashmir, I think, or Ladakh, well, northern India, where there's a lot of conflicts with terrorism, and he interviews some terrorist leaders and stuff like that, and it's all about the Indian independence, which celebrates its 50th anniversary that year. And so he interviews people and asks them what they think about India and the situation, whether they think that India is has become a very democratic country and a nice country and stuff. And then he meets this girl, Meghna, whom he instantly falls in love with, as often in Indian movies. But it's not shown in a kitschy way or a corny way. So, but he's just kind of obsessed with her, and he meets her a lot of times. He follows her, but she always rejects him. She's very quiet and mysterious. So he follows her and finds out that she's got something to do with all those terrorism things going on. But he just falls more and more in love with her, and we don't really get to know whether she falls in love with him too, but I think she does. She kind of hides it. And then someday she just runs away because, well, they spend some time together, and then she just runs away. And Amar meets a girl whom he kind of, he doesn't marry her, but she becomes his fiance and stuff. But then he meets Meghna again, and his whole life just changes again because he loves her so much, and he becomes really obsessed, and he gets involved with all the terrorism and violence, and so they're planning an attack, and yeah, it's hard to explain, but he gets into trouble really bad, and I'm not gonna say how it ends. But
that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's an unusual story for 90s movies from India, I think. And also, it's a love story, kind of, but it has a lot of layers, like the political layer, and
yes,
and even the love story. It's supposed to show the seven shades of love from Arabic poetry or something, which are attraction, infatuation, love, reverence, worship, obsession, and death. I hope I have not said too much now. But and like those shades are shown in the songs too, and the choreographies. And yeah, the whole cinematography is really beautiful, and the whole movie just looks very beautiful, although it's very violent and very even graphic sometimes when it shows the violence. And I also love the dialogue in the movie. It's very poetic, and sometimes especially when they talk about their relationship, and just stuff is kind of revealed all through the movie, and we just get to know part of what they think and how they feel just through the movie, and not all at the same time. And I also like that the movie doesn't really have a genre, because you could say it's a drama, but it has some strong female roles too, so that's kind of cool. And
I saw the movie, but as I think you said, it came out in 98 or
99? Mm-hmm. 98, yes.
Yeah, because I was 6 at that time, and there was this new trend of movies. I mean, in my memory that I remember, I haven't actually looked at it, but like when the whole terrorism thing was coming out. I think there was some war at that time.
Yeah,
so there were a lot of movies being made. And as a kid, like, it had no interest for me. Save the songs and the fact that Shah Rukh Khan was my favorite actor, but it didn't. So I know when you're saying it, I can remember like images, but I don't remember the movie really well. But I will be getting it from my friend hopefully this week, so I should rewatch it.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, I saw it when I was 10, so that's not the perfect age, but. I just liked it for the songs mainly too, like you, but I had the DVD, so I kind of watched it a lot because I obviously didn't have many DVDs. So,
and it has remained your favorite movie since then.
It wasn't my favorite movie at all.
I
was more into like the kitschy and the bright Bollywood movies. Like, I think Kalho Na Ho was my favorite movie, which is terrible. I just rewatched it. And
it's not terrible. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
first
okay.
First half is fun. The second half's depressing, but I don't watch the second half, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, it's not very well written or anything, but it's fun. So, yeah. But it became my favorite movie. Well, when I first made my 100 favorite movies list for my blog, it kind of became, I just thought about the movies that I've seen a lot of times and that I could watch at any time and that I would like in any situation of my life, I think. And
you keep liking them. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, so as you were saying, I had always thought I would never be able to choose my favorite film. And I haven't been able to choose my favorite film because I have two favorite films. Which was when I made like my 100 favorite movie, 100-ish favorite movies list for my blog. So I have two films, which are... Fight Club and Moulin Rouge. But I find it funny because Matt was all like, this shows the kind of person you are.
They're opposite. So, Fight Club and Moulin Rouge.
So first I'll talk about Fight Club, which is, it came out in 1999. It was directed by David Fincher. It's based on a novel by Chuck Palahniuk. And it stars Edward Norton, Brad Pitt, and Helena Bonham Carter. I don't know how much I should talk about the plot.
Gives it away.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Fight Club is a movie that should just be experienced.
Yeah.
And then you should come out from the other side and you should ideally be blown away.
Yeah.
Because I think this film is too awesome to exist. And when I watched it, it was genuinely one of those accidental viewings. I was sitting down one night and I was just flipping through the channels and I just came upon this movie. I don't remember how old I was, maybe like 14 or 15. And I just started watching it because I liked the actors in it. And it just, after it ended, I was in complete shock. I was like, what has just transpired? I don't understand. Okay. And, you know, in the movie, there's that whole thing about your life is ending 1 minute at a time.
Mm.
And at that point, I was going through like a semi paranoid phase for some reason. So that really connected with me. The music,
yes,
all the blood. It's a good. I remember showing it to my friend, and she was cringing away at the blood, and I'm like, "You're not even. That's not even what you should be focusing on. See what the guy has done." So it's completely so everything. The story which was by Chuck Palahniuk. There are a lot of changes in the movie from the original novel, and I think both of them work equally well on their own. I wouldn't change anything in the movie. I wouldn't change anything in the novel. And this has like one of the most famous twists of all time, I think.
Yeah.
And yes. then there's the dialogue. There's things like, if I ever had a tumor, I would name it Marla. And losing freedom. What was it?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm forgetting. That's like the motto of my life. Without like me wanting it, you know, when I really want something, it doesn't happen. And the second I don't want, like I stop wanting it, it happens. So that's like the motto of my life. Losing all hope was freedom. Yes. Mm. So yeah. So things like that, and you know, and like the dialogue, and Edward Norton's he's like half asleep. Dialogue delivery throughout as the narrator, and Brad Pitt's performance, which is in like my top 10 Neil performances of all time, and everything about Mala Singh. I love Mala Singh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would give Jack Stride to be able to watch it for the first time again.
I've seen it. But I didn't understand it. I really didn't. I know now that I saw it and I didn't understand a thing about it. So I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I remember loose scenes and the end, but anything else, it's a blank, really. Because it's one of those movies that it's tricky.
It is tricky. Mm-hmm. Sure, you have to keep watching it.
Yes.
Like, there's so much in it.
With attention.
So much in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to be focused when you're watching it. And I think I wasn't. So
I was.
I didn't understand.
I remember when I watched it for the first time, I was all like, whoa, anarchy, and I wanted to start boxing and stuff.
Movies that do that too.
Yeah. And
that
change your life. I just rewatched it, and there's really so much more to it than I remembered. Even I loved it already, and then there was all the dialogue, and at the beginning you kind of see Tyler, and I did not notice that when I first saw it, and
my favorite things about the movie, do you remember one of Tyler's jobs was as the camera projector man, right?
Yeah, I forgot about that too. Yeah.
Yeah, and he used to like splice a single frame of pornography in like children's movies. Have you noticed in the end, there is like right at the end, there is a splice of pornography in the movie? Have you noticed that?
No, I did not.
You should notice that. Okay.
Okay.
No, you should. That's why I remember watching when that came. Okay, like, I don't know. I think it was as soon as I got the DVD and I was watching it, and it's like half of a second long, and it just happens. And I paused it, like I rewinded and I paused it, and all I could think of was like how Fincher is Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome, you know. I mean, because you know, I watch in India and in UAE, people censor movies like hell.
Mm.
But, you know, even they don't censor this part because they can't see it. So it's so cool. Yeah.
Fincher has that. He does all those details that he's not expecting most of the audience to even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he still does that. Like Aronofsky in Black Swan, there's all those little details in it that you won't notice unless you see it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
So it's cool that a director does that, I think.
Yeah. It's cool if you're if you have a nerdy side.
So yeah.
That you can really enjoy that.
Yeah, okay. And okay, then my second movie, my second number one movie is Moulin Rouge, which came out in 2001, and it's directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
And it's an Australian-American film, which I just found out. I didn't know it was Australian. And it stars Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman. Again, this film was also a sort of accidental rewatch for me. I wanted to watch it because it looked pretty, but I wasn't expecting the kind of movie that it was. Again, I was around the same age, and at that time, I was quite romantic in nature. I think I've become much more cynical now. But yeah, but when I was around 14 or 15, so I was watching that movie, and like Ewan McGregor's character Christian, for me, I connected with him so well. I could understand what he was, where he was coming from, and as Matt said in the beginning, you know, films show your personality. This was a movie which sort of helped me understand parts of myself, which I think it's one. It's I don't know. I mean, this is my opinion. I feel like cinema is the only probably the only art form which helps you get to those sudden self-realizations, because books are sort of gradual, a song is too short, and paintings and things like that, they're too abstract and very, very, very subjective, you know. So films, I feel, are like the ones which can hit you like that, in a way. And Moulin Rouge was such a film for me, and plot-wise, it's very, very obvious. It's about a man who falls in love with a prostitute and everything else that entails. But the man is played by Ewan McGregor, who's amazing. I love Ewan McGregor. And the prostitute, Satine, is played by Nicole Kidman. One of the things which has happened over the years of me watching the movie is, like, I've really, really started to appreciate Nicole Kidman's performance and her character in this, because originally it was all about Christian for me, but now I understand a lot about Satine and how great Nicole Kidman's performance was in that movie. It's not easy to do a performance like that.
Yeah.
And so there's the story, there are the performances, then there's the look, which is a very, very unique look. You know, there are like elephant rooms, and there are sudden jump cuts, and it's very, very colorful. It's one of my favorite looking movies. And then there are the songs, which makes this film so unique, because they're all old, most of the, except I think Come What May, all of them are covers of songs from basically throughout 20th century. Yeah. There's Madonna, there's Beatles, there's a lot of David Bowie, there's Nirvana, there's Police's Roxanne is turned into a sexy tango number, you know, which no one could have done that. So Baz Luhrmann is to completely thank for that he came up with something so original, it's so unique. And I genuinely think that this film is a classic, because I think it will be a sort of film which even people, when they watch it in the future, they should cherish, I guess. And like, I don't think it can be made again, a film like this. So I think it's incredible. And it's all about truth, beauty, freedom, and above all things, love. So, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I still remember that scene on the rooftop where they do this song,
the elephant medley.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I used to listen to it on repeat, I swear.
I know it by heart.
I know.
It's so catchy, and the way they can intertwine all those songs, it's amazing. It's really good.
Yeah.
And I like Nicole in it too. It's a very demanding role. It is a very I recently in my film studies class I got it to like so that people would watch it, and this is probably one of the only movies that everyone in my class liked, because they find most of the films either too pretentious. Even I find some of the films really boring. Okay, we watched both of Nation, it killed me. But this was like the one of the only films which everyone was really, really into. And Dwala was watching it. You know the part when like she has to seduce the Duke?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she's acting like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and it must be so difficult. I really think, you know, when actors have to act like an idiot, or they have to act like someone who's humanly hateful, it must be the hardest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. No, this was one of like, after Titanic and a few other movies, this is one of the films which fueled on my love for redheads. So, yeah.
I like that it's dramatic, but still, or spectacular, but at the same time, it's very ironic, I think, and in some scenes like the spectacular song, and a lot of the songs are very ironic, and
the Like a Virgin song, I mean,
yeah.
That's not what Madonna had planned, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I couldn't believe they had done that.
Okay, so my favorite movie is Notorious from 1946. It was directed by Alfred Hitchcock, and it stars Ingrid Bergman, Cary Grant, and Claude Rains. Yes, I'm going to talk about Cary Grant again. You know it, Nick? I know you know it, right?
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Matt?
Yeah, I've watched it.
I have.
Oh, no, Matt.
Okay. So you know that it's about a woman who is asked to infiltrate a group of Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And Cary Grant's character is responsible for assisting her in that mission. And he ends up falling in love with her. And then there's all these troubles that I'm not going to give away because of spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I love most about this movie is that it crosses all genres that I love, which is romance and thriller. And it's what Hitchcock loved the most as well. And he did it so perfectly in Notorious. It's incredible how he was able to create this tension both between the leads, like that romantic tension between them, and also all those moments of pure thrill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the staircase scene is still my favorite. They're just coming down the staircase and it seems like they'll never get to the end of it. And you're wondering what's going to happen.
In the end.
Or the wine cellar
scene too.
Which was so nerve-wracking. And I think that's what Hitchcock made best. And then there's all those romantic scenes between Bergman and Grant, which under the code they had to break the kisses into little seconds.
Yeah.
But there's this whole segment of, 2 minutes, 3 minutes
it's
of them
genius.
Kissing.
Yeah.
It's genius, right? They don't
it's
separate.
Genius.
It's brilliant. And they have one of the most exciting on-screen chemistries I've ever seen in a film. So, and it's also a spy movie, which really wasn't a thing at the time. So that's also interesting. And they say that even North by Northwest may have inspired 007. So I always find that interesting as well. With a great plot, as we know, a great script, brilliant, just brilliant. And also probably the first movie of Hitchcock that was truly beautiful from a cinematography point of view.
Mm-hmm.
there's all those iconic shots, like the one from in the party where he does this sort of zoom to the key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's one of the most known shots in movie history. So, I don't know. I think it's the perfect movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has my favorite director, my favorite genre, my favorite actor, even my favorite actress, I think, Bergman. I've loved everything I've seen her in so far. And if there's one thing I need in antique movies is a romance. And I think this is my favorite. It's so layered. Like, the characters are so complex. Devlin, you don't really know why he is the way he is and why he acts that way. And there's these little hints to his past, like he's afraid of women or there's something in him that you don't understand. And Hitchcock did that really well too, keep him mysterious when it comes to the characters themselves. I don't know, I just find everything so compelling. And every time I watch it, I notice something different or I love it even more. It's an obsession. Really.
Yeah. Well, it's not in my favorite movies because I remember when Fight Club is my number 3 and Moulin Rouge is my 26. And I remember when I watched this, I expected a lot, but I just didn't have that feeling that I loved it.
Yeah.
But I thought about it later on and I read a lot of reviews and stuff and I noticed all the genius stuff in it. So I think I definitely have to rewatch it really soon.
Yeah, it's one to rewatch, definitely.
Yeah.
When I watched Notorious, it was so unlike any of the other Hitchcock movies that I had seen.
Yes.
So that was like a new thing, you know, like it didn't hit me at first what was going on. Because it's not a proper Hitchcock thriller, right?
No, it's from his early stages. Yeah.
Yeah, so I get like his more pronounced thrilling aspect. So this was very, very subtle movie. So it took like a while to like get into that zone. But it's very, very beautiful. I mean, from all the Hitchcock movies that I have seen, I haven't seen that many. Maybe I think Ingrid Bergman's performance is probably the best along with Anthony Perkins.
Yes.
I thought she was incredible.
It's incredible.
She's so subtle.
Yes, but so intense at the same time. Like when she realizes that the coffee might be poisoned.
Yeah.
And there's that pure terror in her face. It's incredible, but not over the top. Like, it's contained, but you can see it, everything in her eyes. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And, well, I think the relationship I have with this film, it's kind of like when you fall in love and you see no flaws. I see no flaws in it. That's since the first time I watched it. I can't point out a flaw, a single one. I think it's perfect. But like you said, it's something very personal.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's my favorite movie. It's because I can not identify with it, because the story's crazy. How could I identify with it? But because it suits me so well. Like, if I had to pick a favorite movie, like a perfect movie to compose, that would be it. No question. So
that's cool. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, as much as I want to do films, I highly doubt I would be able to come up with either Fight Club or Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
I mean, Moulin Rouge, I don't know, like some aspects I can help in, but I don't think I can come up with either of them ever.
You can do your own thing, I think.
Hopefully it will be,
yes,
like a dramedy. I mean, Woody Allen is like my ideal, right? So
yeah.
He's really good. But he's
my favorite director ever.
My second favorite, so.
I don't even have a favorite, I think.
Well, I guess. Well, this is the only favorite movie that I have, so I can't pick a number two. I can't.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I like it, but well, you know. So I think it can be the same thing with directors for you, Matt.
Yeah, it's hard to do a favorite films list too.
I have.
I always think, I'm not gonna rank it, but I rank it every time.
I know. Yes. I know. It's very hard. And yeah, it's and you know, and we have to like remove films to bring in new films.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's like it feels like you're doing injustice.
Yeah.
To some really amazing movies. But it's fine. I mean, that's what blogging is half the time about, making lists. So it's fine.
Well, even rating a movie, I think it's very bugs me a lot sometimes when I have to pick 4 stars, 5 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars. I don't know.
I find it hard to rate movies I didn't like, because it's always, when it's a movie I like, it's always, oh, it's 8.4 or it's 8.5 and there's a big difference.
Uh-huh.
But when I have movies I don't like, it's, I can't decide whether it's a 2 or 3 or a 1 or a 0.
I like liking movies.
Mm-hmm.
So even movies which I hate, I try and find things which to I like in them.
Yeah,
yeah, so me then too. I give them points in that way.
Okay.
But
I hate
hate it when I don't know how to rate a movie. Like something like Tree of Life. You can never rate Tree of Life.
That's right.
So
well,
yeah.
Lately I've been rating movies from a purely personal perspective. Did I like it or not? Like, it's not a rank of quality anymore. It's a reflection of how much I liked the movie.
Yeah.
Just that.
I think that's the easiest way to.
I think I mix up the two. If I really, really love a movie, I will overlook all of its flaws and give it 10, very happy 10. But if you know, if there are like something like Lawrence of Arabia, you know, as much as I really loved the rest of the movie, there was something like Lawrence, and so I can give it a 10. So I gave it an 8.5 because there was so much, there was a lot of other things to love in it, but it wasn't completely brilliant for me.
Mm-hmm. So that's it from us for now. So do you guys have anything you want to plug?
I want to plug two things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One is I want to plug Iron Man 3. I think everyone should go watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is from my own blog. I'm not the most scheduled of vloggers, but I would think by the time our next episode is out, the Doctor Who series finale will be done, so I should have done a few posts on that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I promise to have something during the next 2 weeks as well.
Okay.
I'll post something.
I want to plug the Red Salute blogathon. It's about Naxalites in Indian cinema, and you can find it on sotheydance.blogspot.com, which is a blog about Bollywood. And I know that a lot of people don't like Bollywood, but I think, Naxalites are
Bollywood a chance.
Yeah, especially Naxalites. It's a political kind of group, or several groups, so it's a really interesting conflict in India.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I have my exams right now, so don't expect anything on my blog. So now we're just gonna tell you how to find us. You can find me, Matt, or my blog Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions on limereviews.blogspot.com. And I'm also on Twitter under Limette9, which is spelled Limette9.
Yeah. You can find my blog, that's Nikat's blog, at beingnormajean.blogspot.com. On Twitter, you can find me at Nikat_Z, which is Nikhat_Z or Z. Yeah.
And you can find me at filmflare.blogspot.com, and on Twitter I'm under M. Sofia Teixeira, that is T-E-I, I don't know. Just search for Filmflare and you'll get there.
Yeah. You can give us your feedback on any of these places or on our Facebook page, which can be found under Across the Universe Podcast or facebook.com/AcrossTheUniversePodcast. And you can also email us at AcrossTheUniversePodcast@gmail.com. And you can find the episodes of Across the Universe also on any of our blogs. And pretty soon we'll have it up on iTunes. So you will just announce that on Twitter and on Facebook. And yeah, our episodes are of course free and to download and to listen. And we'll be back in 2 weeks and talk about a release that we're excited about, which is The Great Gatsby. So that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Change my world. Nothing's gonna